Matthew 20. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. After the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day doing nothing?" "Because no one hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When the evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These men who were hired last only worked only an hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us and have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "Friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who has hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. May God bless our reading to all of us.
Well, thank you very much for reading that through, and thank you to Rebecca for leading the first half of the service so well. Now, I don't know if any of you recognise me. Last time I preached here, it was July 2013. So it's been quite a while, hasn't it? So if anyone's thinking that's just like, yeah, it was just like yesterday, then it was back in 2013. So time really does seem to fly, but we have popped in occasionally, usually in the evening when we're back down visiting our relatives who live here in Worthing. And it's really good to be back here again today. And it's great to have this opportunity to share something from God's word with you. So let's pray together now. Father God, we do thank you for this opportunity to gather together once again to study your word. We thank you that we can meet freely, that we have your word in a language that we can understand. And we do just pray that as we think about this passage, that you would really speak to us. Help each one of us here to really know that your presence is with us. And we do just pray that through the work of your Holy Spirit, what we hear will really speak to us. Lord, we don't want to be people where your word goes in one ear and out the other, but rather we want to really take your word into us so that it shapes us and molds us into people who are like our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. So I do just pray that you move amongst us now by your Spirit, applying this and teaching us, maybe correcting us as well where we need to. And Lord, I do just pray for myself as well and ask that you just help me to share these few thoughts that I have on this passage. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Well, please have your Bibles open at Matthew chapter 20. Well, for a moment, I want you to imagine that we're not in the run-up to spring, but we're in the run-up to Christmas. Christmas is fast approaching. There were only 304 days to go. Now, we're in the run-up to Christmas, and there's a businessman. He's got a factory, and he's got a book that's full of orders. It's a great place to be. And he's got a lot of stock that he's got to pack, and he's got to send out. So he does what most people do in that situation, and he rings up a job agency to get some help. And the job agency, they're delighted to provide the finest workers. And it's going to be a long day in the factory. It's going to be a 10-hour day. But the factory owner, he agrees to pay them £100 a day. And it all starts off well. He's got the right number of people there. But mid-morning, the owner rings up the job agency again and asks for some more staff. And they go, are you unhappy with the people that were sent you? And he goes, no, that's fine. And have you not ordered enough staff? And he goes, no, I just want to hire some more staff. Okay, so some more sent. And then at midday, the same happens again. And now the job agency are a little bit more hesitant because they're running out of workers, and the ones that they've got who are ready to go, well, they've already been to one job that day and the employers haven't liked them, so they've sent them back. But they say this to the man, and he goes, that's fine, send them over. I'll make sure that they get a fair rate. Mid-afternoon, just a few hours left of the day, and he asks for more staff. He asks, who's left? And now the job agency is getting really concerned because they say, well, the only people we've got left, they're the ones who are new on the books and the ones that we consider a little bit unreliable. Are you sure you really want these people? Because we know that you like the best people and you're a valued client. And he goes, doesn't matter, send them over. They need money for food. They've got rent to pay. They've got families to feed and Christmas is coming. I'll make it worth their while. Well, at the end of the day, those hired last get paid first. And as they walk out of the office, the people in the queue here hear them saying, I can't believe it. £100 for 2 hours' work. Well, when hearing this, naturally, those at the end of the queue who were hired first, they're thinking, quid's in. If they get £100 for 2 hours, what's he going to pay us? But when it's their turn, they also get £100. And naturally, they start to moan about it. And at this, the owner stops them. He says, hang on. I've paid you well. I've paid you above minimum wage. And it's what you agreed to work for. Does it really matter to you if I choose to be generous to others? Take your pay and have a good Christmas. Well, hopefully you've picked up that this is a modern day retelling of the parable of the workers in the vineyard, what we had read to us from Matthew 20. And with all parables, we always need to recognize what parables are about. Parables are stories that Jesus is telling to bring out a spiritual truth. And they often work by contrasting someone who is a bad example with someone who is a good example. And with parables, when you want to understand them, the number of characters that you've got, key characters, it gives you an idea of how many points that there are in the parable. And here in this parable in Matthew 20, we see that there's three central characters, which gives us three things to learn. Now, hopefully, it's clear to you that God is the owner of the vineyard. He is the owner of the factory. And how the owner behaves teaches us something very important about God. And we can draw this out by asking a question. What is it that motivates the owner of the vineyard to keep on recruiting workers through the day? What is it? It's compassion. He is recruiting these people because he is filled with compassion. And to really understand this, we need to think a little bit about the setting that the parable is set in. In the ancient world, only a few people were landowners. There were some people who had small businesses doing trades, some people who were fishermen. But then there was a large group of people, a huge crowd of people, who were casual labourers. And these men were paid by the day. And if they didn't get any work, then they didn't get paid that day. There were no benefits to act as a safety net. There were no food banks for people. Maybe they could get by begging. But it was difficult if you were unable to work. If you did not work, you did not eat. And your family did not eat either. And these workers, they were often very poorly treated by their employers. Accidents happened, and sometimes they'd be left disabled, and there was no support for them at all. It was a really hard place to be, being one of these labourers who were milling around in the marketplace each day, waiting for someone to hire you. It's a bit like a situation I saw on one of those BBC reality TV dramas a few years ago, The Victorian Slum. I don't know if anyone watched that one. But there was one family who was there in the Victorian slum, and the man had to go out and he had to work in the docks on the Thames, loading the ships. And it was really hard work, and he was a little bit older, and he pulled his back and he was unable to work. And then the family were in a terrible place because they still had to find money for their rent and food. It's that sort of situation. If you can't earn the money, then you're going to go hungry. Today, the only people who lack this security may be people who are on zero-hour contracts or temporary workers employed via job agencies. People like this, they're very vulnerable. Well, the landowner in the parable, he's not hiring more workers because he's miscalculated the number of staff that he needs. He's hiring more workers because he doesn't want these families to go hungry. He's motivated by compassion, which is why he pays everyone a day's pay, even if they've only worked a couple of hours or whether they've worked the whole day. He wants to make sure that all these people are looked after for that day. And this tells us something wonderful about God, doesn't it? He's there and he's offering salvation because he's a God of compassion. He's a God of love. That's why he wants to save people. And then, as we see him filled with compassion, you know, we ask the question, what do these people need to do in order to be employed and get into the vineyard? And this takes us to the grace that God shows people when he calls them into his kingdom. We all have to remember that when it comes to being a Christian, it's not something that we can earn. Being a Christian is certainly not something that we can deserve. And yet a lot of people think that it's easy to become a Christian today. According to the 2011 census, 61.8% of people in West Sussex describe themselves as Christian. 61.8% of people. Do we see that number going to church? No, we don't at all. And these people who describe themselves as Christian, many, if not all of them, expect to go to heaven when their time comes to an end on earth. So why do people think that they can just call themselves Christian? Well, people have got lots of misconceptions about how someone becomes a Christian. Many people in our society, they think that you become a Christian and get to go to heaven if you're born into a white family, or if you're christened as a baby, or if you're a good law-abiding citizen, you know, never even getting a parking ticket or a library fine, or if you give money to charity, or if you go along to church and get involved, put a little bit of money in the collection, maybe do a job around the church. And there's a list of things that people do in order to earn God's favour and become a Christian. But to use an old-fashioned phrase, this is really putting the cart in front of the horse. A lot of those things are really good things to do, being baptised, being a nice person, serving in the church, and so on. But these are things that people do because they are Christians, not in order to earn our salvation. The simple truth is, because everyone is born as a person who rejects God and tries to run away from him and live their lives for themselves and live as if God's not really there until we need him, it means that everything we do is tainted. Everything we do is dirty in God's eyes, which means trying to earn your way into heaven, trying to be a Christian in your own strength, it's a bit like someone who decides to make a nice Victoria sponge cake, but they decide to use rotten eggs and then expect people to eat it. Even if you did get something out of the oven, it would look terrible and be completely inedible. We haven't got anything to give God in order to be saved. But God is a God of love, a God of compassion, and in his grace, he has sent Jesus to this earth to sort out the problem of our sins, the things that we do wrong, that barrier that keeps us from God and having that relationship with him that we are made to have. He has come and he has paid the price for our sins on the cross. Now all that look to him and trust that what he has done is everything that is needed, all that put their faith in him, they will be forgiven and they will be accepted into the kingdom of heaven. And when they do this, they become workers in the vineyard. When we look at this parable, we have to remember that all these parables that we see about vineyards are clearly talking about God's people. Because in the Old Testament, the vineyard is an image that we see a lot in the book of Isaiah as a way of describing God's people. So the workers in the vineyard today are people who have trusted in Jesus and are living as Christians. And as we look at these workers, there's several groups mentioned, but there's two where there's a focus. There are those that are hired first and those who are hired last. And now we come to a key question for understanding this parable. Is it fair that those hired last are paid the same as those hired first? Is that fair? How you answer that question depends upon how you see yourself. Do you see yourself as the person hired first, or do you see yourself as the person hired last? The parable itself, it's told to sort out a problem that Jesus has got with his disciples. If we look at Matthew 19, verse 27, we see there that Peter, he's saying, we've left everything to follow you. What will there be for us? The disciples, especially Peter, but also the others, if we look later on in Matthew 20, verses 20 to 23, we see the mother of James and John's asking what place her sons are going to have in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is surrounded by these disciples who are expecting great things. They have seen themselves as the first to follow Jesus. They are the ones who are hired first in this parable. So Jesus is telling this parable in order to sort his disciples out so that they get the right perspective. For us today, when we read this parable, and if your instinctive initial reaction is, that's not fair. How can the owner pay those who have worked all day the same as those who are hired at the end? Then really we're just thinking about Peter and James and John and the other disciples. We're thinking just like them. And that's not a surprise, because most people in our society, in fact most people around the world, there's a deep down feeling within you which says, I'm better than other people. We may suppress it. Some people, they make everyone around them feel that they're better than us. But there's a feeling within us that we deserve more than other people. Which means that this is an area that we do need to be on our guard for, because it's an attitude that we see in our society all the time. In our society, people are categorized according to their worth. So those with a lot of money, or those that are particularly attractive, those who have got jobs which give them heavy responsibilities, those who are good at sports, lots of different reasons. Those people are considered more valuable than other people, and everyone is trying to get up there at the top. There's a real rat race going on. And it's easy to bring that aspect of our culture, not only into the church, but also into our own lives. Jesus is telling this parable to make sure his disciples remember that in the kingdom of heaven, everyone is saved by grace. We're all saved in the same way by the death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and all of us are equally valued and loved. It doesn't matter if some of us are saved as children and we go our whole lives serving the Lord. It doesn't matter if the Lord gives some of us marvelous gifts that can be used at the front of the church to teach everyone. The Lord loves each and every believer equally in the same way. And we also have to remember that God gives each believer different gifts which are to be used together for the building up of his kingdom and the edification of the church. As a body of Christians, we are all like the inner workings of an old-fashioned watch. You know those ones which have got all sorts of little cogs in of different sizes, and there's a spring, and they're entwined together. And if there's just one bit missing, then it stops working. We only think that some people in the church are more important than others when we're thinking like these disciples, when the attitude of the world gets in, that some people are more important than others. And if we're thinking it about ourselves, we're thinking that we are more important than other people. So if we want to learn from this parable, we need to learn the lesson that Jesus is trying to teach the disciples, which is to see ourselves as the workers hired last. Now, in the ancient world, when the vineyard owner goes to the marketplace, the ones that are hired first are going to be the fittest and the strongest, and those that are hired last, well, they're going to be the ones who are a little bit older, or the ones who have been disabled through accidents, or the ones that are unable to do a full day's work. People with all sorts of weaknesses. In the kingdom of heaven, we are repeatedly told to think less of ourselves and more than others. So we should be looking at ourselves as the workers who are hired last. And this is a theme that we see right through Matthew's gospel. We read many times that the last should be first. In the kingdom of heaven, there's a turning upside down of the attitudes and ways of this world. God turns everything around so that what's small in this world is great in the kingdom of heaven. And it's not just in Matthew's gospel. If we look in Luke's gospel, Luke 17, verses 7 to 10, there's a story told there about some servants who work hard all day, and then they have to work hard at the night serving at the table. And at the end of the day, they are unworthy servants who have only done their duty. In Luke 14, we've got the parable of the wedding banquet, which talks about the person who goes into the wedding banquet and takes the best seat and then gets moved down to the bottom because there was someone more worthy. And the advice is given to take the bottom seat and then you'll be elevated. We need to be people who are filled with humility. We need to be people who are like those who were hired last. But then we need to remember what they were paid. They were paid a full day's pay. They weren't paid by the hour, even though they could contribute only a small part to the kingdom of heaven. How do you think they felt? There would have been surprise, and there would have been joy, and there would have been gratitude. Joy that the children wouldn't go hungry that night, and gratitude, they would be amazed at the generosity of the owner. They would see and understand the owner's compassion in a far richer and more profound way than those who were hired first. As we consider that the grace that the Lord has shown to each one of us who believe, then our hearts should be filled with gratitude and joy. Gratitude that the Lord has called us. Gratitude that the Lord has given this great honor of serving him in the kingdom of heaven. There's no better way to use your life than in the service of the Lord today. And gratitude that we know that one day we will see Jesus face to face. We know that one day we will go to heaven. And alongside this, there is also joy. When we remember the love and compassion that God has shown us, then surely our hearts should be filled with joy. And then when we think about the things that the Lord has asked us to do and how he equips us to do those things, then there should be joy as we serve him. And we also have that joy of knowing that whatever we face in this life, no matter how hard, no matter how difficult, no matter how awkward, we have the joy of knowing that he will be there with us. And we keep on looking to him. So we should be people who are filled with gratitude and joy as we seek to serve our Lord Jesus Christ here and now today. So how do we do this? Well, I think the best thing that we can do is start contrasting the two different kinds of workers. We have those who are hired first, and they're our example of how not to do it. And then we have those who are hired last, and they're our example of how we should be going. So, those who were hired first. What do they look like when they're working within a church and when they're trying to witness? Well, in the church, no one's going to say that they don't work hard. They work exceptionally hard. They're carrying all the burdens through the day. But at the same time, are they doing things for the right reason? The Lord looks at our motives. During the time of worship, we were singing that lovely song by Lou Fenneman about building this house. And we want to build something, and we don't want it to be in vain. And we want to hear that, well done, good and faithful servant. If you want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, you have to do the right thing for the right reason. Our motives need to be pure. So these people, they're working hard in the church, but they're doing things for the wrong reason. They're serving in the church for what they can get out of it themselves. And this means that within the church, they can be maybe quite competitive. They want to do better than other people. They may be eager to guard their corner of ministry and not let other people get involved. And then, of course, when they see someone else doing really well, then they're not happy about it. People like that really destroy unity in a church. They're very difficult to work alongside. And while they're very capable, they're not team players because they're working for themselves. And when it comes to their witness is not particularly good. Because while they will boldly share the gospel, the attitudes and motives and desires of their heart will carry through into the way that they behave in their workplace, in how they behave in their families as well. And in the workplace, they'll be just like everyone else, seeking promotions and what's best for them and all that sort of thing. And you know what people are going to do? They're going to look at them, they're going to listen to the message, they'll understand the gospel, they'll understand how people should behave, and then they'll look at the lives of the people doing the message, and they're going to see right through them. And there's that dreadful word that we don't like, hypocrite. They'll be hypocrites. Let's contrast that sort of behavior with the worker who was hired last. Now, this is the person who has been saved by grace, and they know it. They know that they haven't done anything in order to deserve where they are in the kingdom of heaven. And they're also aware of their limitations. They know that the gifts and skills and abilities that they are able to use in the church are all gifts of the Holy Spirit. They are things that God has given them, and they're expected to be faithful to their calling. So, they're aware of their limitations, but despite this, they serve gladly anyway. And people like this, because they're aware that they're in the kingdom of heaven by grace, and they're aware that the things that they do are the things that the Lord has asked them to do, it means that they're going to be delighted to work with other people. They're going to be good team players. People who are tolerant and patient with others. People who support others. People who will carry them through. People who want to see other people experiencing the blessings that they have received themselves. They're the sort of people that you want in your church. They're the sort of people that you want on your ministry team working alongside you. People who have focused solely on serving the Lord and are not in it for themselves. And then when it comes to witnessing, sharing the gospel, well, they share the gospel just like the other people, but it's backed up by that changed life and attitudes. People will be far more willing to serve. People are not going to stand and argue their corner so much. Maybe it means that they're treated a little bit badly, but the humility of the Lord Jesus Christ will be seen. It will be there. It will be visible in their lives. And people will listen to the message and they will look at their lives. And the word that describes them is authentic. Authentic Christians. And that's so important because we live in this society where there's this rat race going on, where so many people are in competition and they're fighting against each other. They're trying to get one over each other. They're trying to press people down. And when you can go out as an authentic Christian in that situation, then the Lord can use you. So clearly from this parable, we need to be people who aspire to be the workers in the vineyard who were hired last. Those people who are aware and delight in the grace that we have received. And we respond with authentic Christian lives. Lives that are filled with gratitude and joy. Lives that will be like a lighthouse to the society around us that says that this place is different, that the Lord is here, that the Lord turns people around and the Lord changes lives. And as we rejoice in the grace that we have received, we pray that the Lord will use us and our witness so that other folk out there, those who listen and respond to our message, can also share the same gratitude and joy. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Father God, we do thank you for this parable of the workers in the vineyard, and we do just pray that you help us to learn the lessons from it. First of all, we thank you for the love and compassion that you have shown us, and then the grace which has brought us into the kingdom of heaven. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts, Father God, for sending your Son, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, to clean away the stain of our sin so that we could be reconciled to you and adopted into your family and become workers in the vineyard. And we do just pray, Heavenly Father, that you help us to leave aside any influences from the world around us which will seek to make us think more of ourselves and less of you. But instead, help us to serve you with joy and gratitude in everything that we do. Oh Lord, we do just pray that you work in our hearts and use us so that this can be a strong church, a church with an authentic Christian witness, which will be able to reach out to the lost all around us. Amen.